Only T-Mobile gives you unlimited data with taxes and fees included, so you save hundreds a year. And get two lines for just $100 a month all in with AutoPay. And right now, harness the power of unlimited with a Samsung Galaxy S8. It's the fastest Galaxy ever, so it deserves the fastest and most advanced LTE network. Why wait? Switch today. Only at T-Mobile.
Top 3% of users greater than 30 gigabytes per month may notice reduced speeds. Price includes sales tax.
Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Fire the Tire.
Hey, everybody. Good morning or good afternoon, depending on where you're from. Welcome to Coach on Fire Radio Network, and every story brings some glory. This is your host, best-selling author of Hanging by a God Thread, Kelly Daguerre. I'm so blessed to be here today with you guys. I'm your faith-empowering coach and founder of Faith and Freedom Blueprint. So excited for our guest today. Let's get this going. Let's pray this out. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you, Lord, for this new day that you have given us. I thank you, Lord, for this radio show, for it is your show, Father, not mine, where we are together. We are just the vessels, Lord, to bring you honor and glory to your name for all that you have done. Bless all our listeners and bless Kara for sharing her story, Lord, for furthering your kingdom. We pray this in the holy, mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, everybody, welcome. I want to give out the phone number for later whenever you feel like calling in and talking with Kara or myself. The number to jot down is 646-716-7979, 646-716-7979. Today we have my dear, dear friend, fellow evangelist. She has been a counselor now for over 15 years. She is a mom, a wife, a mother of five sons, that's got to be fun, a founder and president of From the Word Counseling, and has a Facebook event daily, guys, where she prays for the children. Welcome, Kara Campbell. How are you today, sister?
Oh, Kelly, it's a honor to be here with you for this interview. I appreciate it so much. I am doing so good, so good, so excited to be here with you.
So great to hear your voice. It always just puts a smile on my face just to hear you, and really honored for you to be here today. Just to share with us, share with our callers and with our listeners here, Kara, tell us where you grew up. Tell us a little bit about your younger years, where you lived your young life.
Well, I was born and raised in Jamaica. Oh. I'm a Jamaican at birth, yes, and I was raised in a little district. I was born in Kingston, was raised in this little district called Bull Bay in Jamaica, St. Andrew.
Bull Bay. Well, you know, I always would hear your voice and I go, she's got to be from Jamaica. I love to hear when you speak. I love to hear your Jamaican accent. How long were you in Jamaica, Kara?
Well, I was always in Jamaica until 2004 when I came to the United States.
Oh, so you lived quite a bit out there.
Yes.
What was that like growing up in Jamaica? Well, tell me a typical day, Kara.
It was bittersweet. It was bittersweet because my life story, as I share in my book, it was bittersweet for a period of time. It was rocky there, but God saw me through.
Right.
God saw me through.
What about when you were a little girl, Kara? Was there some, you know, things when you were small? Who did you grow up with, hon?
Well, I was raised by my aunt because I'm an only child. I'm an only child, and sadly, none of my parents wanted me. So I was abandoned at 10 months old. And then God made it to be. I was raised by my aunt, and that's a long story. It's all in the book.
Right, which I know we're going to talk about later. We'll have everybody make sure at the end where to get your book at. But as we bring, you know, callers to where we are today, the first part of our, you know, of our sharing here is about that time and about when you, you know, were younger. What do you remember? I mean, are there are some good memories when you were, you know, just a child, and were you close? How was your aunt a good support for you?
Yes. To tell you the honest truth, Kelly, I don't remember too much happy days growing up. Most of my days was sad. Most of my days was lonely. Most of my days was confused and troubled. I didn't know who I am. I didn't know, you know, why I'm here. I was just going as the day go by, rolling with the tide. I had a very confused childhood. But my aunt did her best because you can't do what you don't know. I believe that. And
sure.
She gave me her best. She gave me her best. She gave me what she knew.
Mm-hmm. And so what are the schools like in Jamaica when you were in school? Were they small? Were they crowded? What did you do like in school? What were the things, you know, even though we're going through a hard time when we're small, I don't know, you know, I can think back to some things in my childhood too that weren't too, you know, great. And what did you do to help those days, like when we didn't know God yet and know that answer?
Well, I was raised in the church. That's one thing they let us do. There's no way around it. Growing up in my days in my aunt's home, there's no way around going to church. No one asks you if you're going to church today. We know that is not a question that we ask. You are going to church.
Wow.
So I was raised in church, and for most of my young teenage and young adult life, I knew about God. I knew about Him, but I did not know Him.
Sure. So you were going to church, but you just automatically, because that was just a ritual type thing.
That was just the ritual. I just go to church, right. Just was raised in church, had to go to Sunday school, had to partake in the concerts and the rallies and the games and everything. But I did not know who Jesus really is.
Right. That's like my mom. She was raised Catholic. And I remember being a little girl and going into my grandma's room and seeing like all these statues, like what, like you couldn't touch them, you know, you couldn't touch. There was St. Peter, St. Paul, St. Christopher,
yes.
St. all these things. And I think my mom grew up that way. Praise God. Now at 90, she knows. Oh, don't tell her. I told you how old she is. That's okay. She looks 50. But she, anyway, I love her to death, but she did grow up that way. We're not really knowing who Jesus is, thinking that you had to do this and you had to do that confession or had to do, you know, those ritual type things.
Yes.
So,
yes.
So that's interesting though. So later on that'll come up too, is those
right.
times.
So I was glad for the foundation, Kelly. I was really glad, you know, later on I was glad for the foundation because when I started to struggle really, really hard, I didn't know that my foundational, you know, upbringing would have such a great impact on my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe the scripture that said, train up the child in the way that
mm-hmm.
he should go. That's what my aunt was doing. That's what they believed in. Just train up the child in the way they should go.
mm-hmm.
And when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I proved that to be true.
Yes. But it's interesting, though, when those words just came to my mind, because I just had done this. I really wanted to do this post, you know, Instagram. I do a lot of evangelizing and whatever word God brings. And I wanted so bad to go to the train tracks.
Yes.
And just
yes.
There's something about a train. And when you said that word right now, saying, you know, train up a child, right,
mm-hmm.
train depends on where that train is going. Right?
Yes,
yes we have the
yes.
train, but we have to make sure that train is going the right way.
Right way,
right?
Yes.
Right. That is just such a powerful thing. So when you were younger, I know, and guys that are listeners and Kara too, I know we talked before the show just to, because this is such a powerful topic that we have, guys, today, because of our youth and because of, you know, sadly things that are, you know, in our world today, you know, speaking of that show, Suicide Squad, did you ever hear of that show? That's
yes,
a movie this last year. You know, it's like our young youth, what are they looking at? It's like, oh, Suicide Squad and making it glorified and making it, you know, like, what is it, a cheering, you know, team? What? Like a confused,
yeah.
I saw somebody the other day put something in Walmart and it had that picture, you know, Suicide Squad. And just, you know, we need to, so I just love what you do, Kara, praying for the children every day. And instilling right in them their purpose. So going back, you know, because we are the first part of the show is just kind of digging in deeper and that time. You know, and I really been praying a lot for this show because of just what the purpose and what God's going to do in it. But can you share anything, a time in that time, something you want to share or when did it, you know, because you were, you know, growing up, you're an only child and it was bittersweet, like you said, but was there something in that time that, and we have this positiveness going through, was there anybody that was in your life, like a friend in school or a positive outlook or out, you know, we share more about your, you know, childhood when we're talking about that.
Sure. My aunt raised another little girl. So both of us were growing up together. And we call, up until this day, we call each other sisters.
Though
we were, you know, we're not born from the same parents.
Mm-hmm.
So we were growing up like sisters. And we had a really good relationship. And as far back as I can remember, we never quarrel. We never fight. You know, we never have malice. And you know, we really had a good relationship growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember, this is something that will never leave me. This is one of the best things that happened to me. I can remember, I think I was like maybe 9, 8, 9, and she was maybe 12, 14, roundabout. And we were hurrying. We were late to, you know, for school, so we were hurrying. And when I get to school, I realize, Kelly, that I forgot to put my underwear on.
Oh, gee.
Can you imagine what I told her? When I told her, can you imagine? You would never imagine what she did.
She
grabbed me and rushed to the bathroom, and she took her underwear off and put them on me.
Wow.
Isn't that awesome?
That's so precious.
Didn't know the reason. I didn't know why she did it. I didn't know. But she was like just that, you know, that angel over me, just like that mother figure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was just like that protector over me.
Yes.
And later on in life, you know, later on,
mm-hmm.
you know, we were talking about it and I asked her, why? Why in the world would you do that? Why did you do that? You know what she says? She said, well, at our age, kids may be playing. And then my dress probably, you know, may lift up or I might fall down and then I would be exposed. And she was more, she thought to herself that she was more conscious and she could handle herself, you know, moving around without an underwear on. But
What an act of selfishness. God bless her. You know,
That was awesome. So she wanted to just cover me, you know, and I looked at that and I, you know, I remember the scripture, you know, that say love covers a multitude of sins.
Amen. And that is
one of the best stories in my life I'll never forget.
Is she still alive today?
Yes, she is, and we are closer than ever.
What is her name?
Her name is Doreen.
Doreen.
Doreen, and she's living in Minnesota. I had to put it in there.
I've got to tell you, that is one of the most selfish stories I think I've ever heard. I've heard of giving your shirt off your back to somebody.
Yes.
That tops it off, you know. Just, you know, something. Well, when, so she was your sister, per se, you know, you guys were growing up together. What, and you went to school together. What, mm-hmm. You know, when did, I don't know when you want to start sharing about, you know, you're going to church and everything, and you have your sister you're being brought up with. So when was the time that it got really hard, you know, that you were, you know, is there anything else you want to share with when you were younger? Because I think you dealt with your issues more like high school, right?
It started before that. It started when I was about 7, 8. Going on there, my aunt has one daughter, because my family from my father's side is not a big family.
Mm-hmm.
So I should start earlier, because my mother told me years ago when I happened to see her a long time after, she was giving me bits and pieces of my life story and her life story, and she told me that she got pregnant in the middle of the day. She met my dad and they, you know, went off and did what they did, and she got pregnant, but she didn't know that she was pregnant. The very day that they went to bed, that was the day she got pregnant. And she got up and she started throwing up. And when I get older, I realized that was a sign of pregnancy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she didn't know either. And I guess my dad knew, as a man, he probably knew. And she never see him again in for a while. She never see him. He never called. He never contacted her or anything. So he abandoned her right there. So she had this pregnancy, and she was there not knowing what to do. She was very brilliant at her. She was bright. She was going to high school at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So my grandmother, her mother, kicked her out when she found out that she was pregnant.
Mm.
So my mother lived on the street. My mother lived out there. She kicked her out here and there. With this pregnancy, she had nowhere to go because her mom kicked her out. So she had a rough life too, with going around with this baby in her stomach.
Right.
So she eventually had this baby, and she had to stop school. She had to start looking for work to support herself and this baby. So she tried to pawn me off. She would leave me with you today, and she would not come back to pick me up. And people have to be, you know, trying to find her to come and get your baby. Come and get your baby. And she would try to do that over and over, maybe 3-4 times. She would try to leave me. And that was a sign that she really didn't want this baby. So she tried to leave me 3-4 different times with different people. And you know, and run off, and people had to really find her to come get this baby. So anyway, she told me of a story where she was working at a place, and my father used to drive for this taxi company called Yellow Cab.
Mhm.
So she was working at this place, and she would see this yellow cab passing, you know, her way pretty often, and she was curious, and she said, "I am going to go down there to find out if this is, you know, this is him."
Uh-huh.
And she followed that trail for a little while, and she didn't see anything, and she, you know, she never give up. She keep following that trail, you know, to watch to see if she would see where the car was going or whatever. So anyway, one day she told me that she went down the road and she saw some kids playing in the street. And she called one of them away and she said, come here, little man. Do you know a man down here who drives this yellow cab? And the little boy said, yes, ma'am, come. Let me show you where you live. So the little boy took her and showed her the direct place that he lived.
Uh-huh.
And she watched that young man at home for a while to make sure that was where he lived. And let me tell you something, Kelly. She said when she found out that was where he lived, she was watching the house. He didn't know. Nobody knows she was watching the house.
Right.
And she found out that he was living there. And she did nothing but pack my little bag and took me to that place when I was 10 months old and left me on that doorstep and walked away.
I am so sorry.
And she walked away. So at that time, she didn't know anything either. She didn't know that my dad was living at that home with his mistress, with another woman.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened, why my dad had to abandon me, because he cheated on his mistress with my mom.
Wow. Oh,
he cheated.
You know what, I tell you, my mind always goes fast forward, though, to where we are today. I have a similar story I won't share on this show right now because you're here, it's your story. But wait till you hear my story, Kara, one day. So God has a plan and a purpose for your life. He
right.
will be here.
Right?
Right. So then how did you get to where you were?
What happened? So my father's mistress, she heard a baby crying.
Oh, my.
And she went outside looking around the yard, and she saw this baby crawling around her yard.
Okay.
So she called my dad on the phone. She called him and told him what happened. And he said to her, okay, I'm coming. I figured right at that moment, he knew something was about to happen.
Yes.
Mm. So he said, okay, I'm coming. And he came home and he saw this baby and he broke down and told his mistress the truth that he cheated and this baby is his.
Wow. Well, at least he did that.
So they started fighting.
Mm.
They started fighting. Their relationship was not the same anymore.
Mm-hmm.
She decided that she didn't want me. She wouldn't keep me. She wanted nothing to do with me because she was hurt and she was vexed and she was mad and she wasn't up to forgive him, ever.
Mm-hmm.
So she told him that she's not going to take me in. So that's when he took me to his sister in Bulbe.
Mm-hmm.
So my sister raised me. And even when my sister raised me, my father was never around.
Mm-hmm.
My father was never around. My father never tried to have a relationship with me. He was never around until he left and went to the United States and that was it. I haven't seen him.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what?
Jesus
is our Father, right? Amen. He is our Abba Father.
Amen.
God told me that at a young age, too, because my dad died 3 months before I was born.
Mm.
So I never really had a father either. So we have that in common, too. I didn't know.
Right.
Yeah.
So at about age 6, 7, 8, around about there, my aunt has a daughter. She has one daughter, and her daughter had adopted a child that her husband brought home. My aunt's daughter, her husband cheated and brought this baby home.
Wow.
So she took in that baby. So every week or so, every other week, roundabout, they would take me down there to, you know, to keep be company with that little girl. We, you know,
and that's Doreen, right?
And all that.
That's Doreen.
No, that wasn't Doreen. Doreen was still there.
Okay.
So she would take me down there to play with that girl, because that little girl, she's there alone, so they decided that she wanted some company. Doreen have me all through the week.
Okay, I see. Okay, I'm following you.
Doreen have me all through the week, so they decided that they would take me down there like every other week to keep her company.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where her dad, that same dad that cheated, my aunt's daughter's husband,
mm-hmm.
he would molest me.
Oh.
He would sexually molest me when I was down there.
Oh.
My little heart would race out of my stomach every time I know I have to go down there to face that trial. To face that ordeal. I don't know how they do it, but every time I would want to go to the bathroom, I don't understand why he would always be pushing in the bathroom to come in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Someone left me in the bathroom. And he would threaten me in the bathroom, point his finger, you better never say anything, never say anything, mm-hmm. you ever say anything. And he would, you know, point his finger, you know, in my forehead, and if you ever say anything. And then he keep doing that, you know, over time, and I began to get withdrawn. Sad, hurt, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I never say anything because he told me never to say anything.
Yeah, I hear that.
And I was scared to say anything. I was ashamed.
Right.
So all those things come over you. Shame. And there was a time I remember I was scared to go to the bathroom. I would keep that thing inside me until my stomach, my tummy would hurt because I was so scared to go to the bathroom. I was so scared to go to the bathroom.
You know, Kara,
and I never did say anything. And even Doreen said to me, "So why didn't you tell me?" I was just so scared to say anything because I didn't want to feel like a troublemaker. I didn't want to make any problem between them. I didn't want them because maybe they don't believe me. Maybe they think I'm a lie and they don't believe me, and then you know I make this big trouble. And all these thoughts, you know, going to your head as a child that's been molested. All these things go to your head. So whenever a child tells you that they feel that guilt, they feel that shame, they feel like, you know, they are the one who is going to be blamed as a troublemaker, it's true.
Well, you know, Kara, there's so many stories. I can just only thank God that nowadays it's more prevalent to talk about, and that it's okay, for God will bring everything into the light, and that's where the healing begins.
Yes.
Right? The enemy wants to suppress it. The enemy wants to hide it. He wants to leave you in that place where you're feeling the guilt, or you're feeling the scared, or the you know, shame, because he wants to leave you there because there's God can't heal you there, but praise God that now people can talk about it, and there's places children can go, and they know that it's not them, right? And they know that it is not their fault.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Sister.
Yes. You really feel like it's your fault. You really, really feel like, you know, you caused this to happen.
Right.
Yes.
Well,
really
I think
like
this
that.
Is a beautiful time to play this song that God put on my heart, and I pray before every episode, Lord, which song is this? Which song do you want me to play for this? And I'm going to let the song play. I'm going to first let's just give the number out again so that I do now, because I, who knows where the Holy Spirit's going to take me after. Here's the number, guys, after the song, 646-716-7979. If anybody wants to call in, you know, towards the end or whenever, feel free. But right now, Kara, we're going to play this song, and I hope it blesses you and all our listeners, okay? It's
okay.
Called No Longer Slaves.
Amen.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemy. Till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother, chosen me, love has called my name. I've been born again to a family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am
Jonathan, David, and Melissa Helser. And I don't know about you, but that song just gets me every time. How about you, Kara?
Right.
Amen. I want to just play that song every day to remind us of that, right?
Sounds
my favorite part is you split the sea so I could walk right through it. My
yes.
fears are drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I can stand and sing. You say it, Kara. You say it.
Amen.
I am a child of God.
Right? I am a child of God.
And I have to
and
just
that's
say,
what you say I am no longer a slave to sin.
To sin. No longer a slave at all. This song is called No Longer Slave, whether it's sin, right, or fear, right?
Yes.
And I love, Kara, where it says, I am. And I was praying about this morning, because when Moses asked God, Lord, who shall I say? Who shall I say sent me? And God
yes.
said, I am, right?
I am.
And yes. when that, and we take that in, I am, that is in us because God resides in us when we invite him in our
yes.
life, right?
Yes.
And we say, I am a child of God,
yes.
a child of the King. So, girl, let's talk about restoration now, okay? So
yes,
let's
ma'am.
Talk about how all this came and who and how and when did that come about?
Yeah, so when I was about 12 years old, my aunt took sick because she had diabetes really bad. So she took sick, and her daughter took her. She could no longer, take care of me. So her daughter took her home. So they took me back to my father's mistress. Because I was 12 then. So they took me back to my father's mistress. My father was in the States. My father was away in the States, so they took me back there. And that didn't last long. In about 4 months, around about 3-4 months, they because they didn't want me there in the first place. She didn't want me in the first place, remember?
Yes.
And she was still hurting. She was still unforgiving. So she threw me out on the street.
Oh, at 12 years old?
Yes. Yes. So I was back and forth on the street going down to Doreen. Back and forth going
right.
down to Doreen. She had her little family then, so I was there most
uh-huh.
of the time. And then I started, running away, sleeping in the bushes. Sleeping in the bushes, running from men trying to rape me. I remember four narrow escapes from men trying to rape me, sleeping in the bushes, living in the bushes. And I remember a woman, I was walking looking for work, and this woman took me to a place where she says, this lady needed somebody to take care of her baby. So she took me there, and I was doing that living job to take care of this little girl, sweet little girl.
And you were 12 at the time.
I was 12. Then, in that house, that woman, when she gone to work, her husband would fight me off all day because he wanted to rape me.
What? Oh my goodness.
So that was like I was so tired because that had been going on for so many years, and that's all I see men want to do, just to rape me. I was just tired of running and fighting. That was the fight of my life, running from men all the time. And I remember I met this man one day. I was standing by the gate, the same place where I was working. Standing by the gate, and this man came on and say hello, and every once in a while I would see him and we would talk, change thoughts, hello, and from one argument to another we start building a close relationship, closer and closer, till I started telling him, what I was struggling with.
Yeah.
I started sharing with him because I need to talk. I'm that kind of person.
Yes.
I don't do things.
Yes. Well, that's how God created us, was to share and to help, encourage, and to, you know, be intimate and have a relationship, right?
Yes. So I started to share with him, and as the time goes by, he promised, because he claimed he sympathized with me, and I think he did. I think he did. He was sympathetic because he told me now, he promised that he was going to get me a room, rent me a room, and he was going to take me out of that situation. And he did. He rented a room, and he bought me a bed, and he bought me, because if you are living in the streets and somebody offer you, you're living in the streets and living in the bushes for all those years, running and tired, and someone offered you a shelter. That's what you want. You wanted a shelter. You wanted security. You wanted to know that, you know, when the nightfall comes, you have somewhere to go to sleep. You wanted somewhere to sleep. You wanted somewhere to cook your food. You wanted somewhere that you can feel secure.
It's safe.
And he promised that. He promised that, and he did. He bought me a stove. He bought me a bed, and he rented that room, and I was living there. But did you think that he gave me all those as just a free gift? He wanted something in return. I wasn't thinking that either at my age.
Okay.
You know, because no one was ever so kind to me.
Right.
Amen. So it worked out that he started visiting, and by he started visiting, now then we get intimate. Then that's where my first child comes in, and this man now was a married man.
Mm.
So my first baby. For a married man.
Uh-huh.
Because he promised to rescue me from all that I was going through. And he did.
Exactly.
He did what he could. He did.
Mm-hmm.
And I got pregnant. So I had that baby for this married man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It went on that when I realized that he was married, I felt that shame again, because growing up in the church, you know, that is sin. You're not supposed to get into a person's marriage like that. And then I break off with him because I didn't want to go further with him, with, you know, knowing that he's married and knowing that I'm committing that evil thing against another woman. So I tried to break that thing off. And then I went on to another man having another baby. And that's what we do when we are in sin. That's what we do when we don't know who we are. That's what we do when we don't know who to whom we belong. That's what we do when we are confused, and that's what we do when we are looking for love and protection and guidance and from all the wrong places. We are looking for love from people. We are looking for help from people. We are looking to be delivered from whatever it is that we are going through from another person, and that's what happened.
Right.
That's what happened. So I have another baby. Okay. And then I went on again, life goes on, and then I got pregnant for another man. So now I have these two babies, and then I have one pregnancy. And then I met my husband come along, and he happened to marry me with this third baby.
Aww. And what's your husband's name, Kara?
Egbert Campbell.
Edgar?
He happened to marry me with this third baby.
Mm-hmm.
And he not only married me with this third baby, he adopted this third baby.
Praise God.
As his own.
God bless him.
We went through the court, and he legally adopted this baby as his own. And I started to, my life started to, you know, make a positive turn there.
Praise God.
And then after we got married and the kids were growing, then I heard somebody said my mother came back from England. She was in England. I didn't know where she was all the time.
Huh.
And then I got a message. Somebody said my mother is here and she wants to come and see me.
Mm.
That time I was married, big woman. I was like 25 years of age then.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, 25, 20, 28, roundabout. And she, I said, yes. And she came to see me. But I forget to tell you about the second child. When I have the second baby, I forgot this little part here. My mother came back. Yes, my mother came back, and she wanted to take me to England with her. How could I forget this part? She wanted to take me to England with her when she came back.
Wow.
She wanted to, like, build that mother-daughter relationship again. And she said, okay, I want to take you to England with me, but I don't want to take you with these kids.
What?
I'm not going to take you with these kids. That time I had just two babies. And she says, I said to her, so what am I going to do with them? She says to me, give them to their fathers.
Oh, geez.
Their dad. Just
no.
Like she did to me. And she said to me, the first one, give him to his dad, and the second one was a baby then. The second one, I think he was like 8, 9, 10 months, roundabout, same age. Because he wasn't running around.
Same age as you were when she did that.
Yeah, he wasn't running around too much yet. And she says to me, I want you to get up early, go to his dad's house, and lock him in the car and let us run away.
What?
Yes.
Oh, my
God. I want you to put him in the car.
Oh, my God.
Put him in the car. Because in those days, people didn't even lock their cars. Put him in the car and let us run away.
Oh, no.
And I said to her, I can't do that. I can't.
Sorry.
And I can remember her saying, well, I am not going to take you with these kids.
Well, God bless you, Kara, for taking care of these precious children that God gave to you.
Because I could see is that baby dying in that car, Kelly.
Yes.
All I could see is that baby dying in. I could not have the guts to just put my child in a car, just leave the baby in a car and just walk away.
No, that's not your heart. That's not God's heart. Oh, Kara, I can't even believe.
And that was the last time I saw her in years. That was when we parted ways, and she left and she went back to England for years. And then I didn't see her again until after I got married, and then she came back and wanted to come visit.
That must have been
very hard. Wanted to come visit. And that time I had all my five babies by then. She came to visit me, I have all my five babies.
She must feel an awful guilt. I can't.
I took her into my house and spent a whole week at my house with my family.
Oh.
And yeah.
Can you imagine? I bet you didn't have to say
one word.
I bet you didn't have to say. I mean, I can't even imagine her coming, and then seeing these two babies
there. Yeah.
She wanted to abandon and just.
Yes.
I mean, I can't even. I'm sure you didn't mention anything. I'm sure you didn't even need to. I mean, if she had.
I didn't mention it.
Yeah.
I never mentioned it. And you know, Kelly, even that baby, that child that she wanted me, he is a policeman now in Jamaica. He's a policeman.
What's his name?
What's his name?
Yeah.
Omar. His name is Omar.
Omar.
And let me tell you, I didn't even mention those things to my kids when they were growing up.
No.
Would you believe? I don't know why, but I just was so hurt with those stories. I ponder them over and over. You know, I wonder why. I think about them, I think over them. I could not understand them, but I never repeat those stories to my children.
Nope.
I never tell them.
Nope. God has healed that, put it away, and He doesn't remember, and that we don't need to go there. Right? We don't need to go there.
I tell you, I remember when I told my son about what my mother did, said I should leave him in the car. I remember looking at his face. I remember seeing his face just fall. His cheek just fall. when I told him, like, you know, the hurt right there, he was saying, that's what I get from his looks.
Right, that you couldn't
Why
do
me?
That.
Yeah.
You could see
the pain, and you could see the discouragement on his face when I told him that he was the one, you know, she wanted me to let in the car. And his face just fell. I could see his face just fall down. His cheek just fall down, you know, like he's saying, why me? And I knew right there, if I had told him this story when
that's right.
he was alive, he would have hated her.
Too much hurt.
Would be too much for him. And I was glad. I am glad about it today. I am glad I didn't tell
Amen. Amen.
the story, because I saved my child from living and walking and have to deal with that hurt and that unforgiveness. Because after she passed, it's a whole different story. He didn't have, you know, that wasn't such a burden.
Right.
If she was alive, for him to deal with that unforgiveness.
Right. And you know, isn't Jesus like that? I mean, and that's what he puts in our hearts.
Yes.
We don't want that pain. We don't want somebody else to go through that, right? And I can't believe, Kara, how much we only don't have much time. We've got like 8 minutes. I would love to finish. Oh, I've got to let everybody know, you guys. You can follow Kara Campbell every day on Praying for the Children on her Facebook. You got to go get her book. And if anybody can be blessed by her book, 5 Reasons to Not Commit Suicide.
Yes.
On Amazon. And just don't listen to that noise in the background, because the enemy's trying to come through this computer stuff and we aren't listening. And so you can get her book, 5 Reasons to Not Commit Suicide. And
those were the symptoms that I was feeling. You know, the devil would tell me to throw myself into like 18-wheeler trucks. You know those big 18-wheelers?
Oh, my God.
Because I was thinking of how to do it. I was thinking of how to take my life, how to kill myself. And the devil would tell me that would be the easiest way, to run into an 18-wheeler. And that would be so easy. And I could not, you know, every time I think about not spending eternity with Jesus, because knowing him, was raised in the church, I know that it would be a sin to take my life.
Well, you know what, Kara? It's because God had such a plan for your life. To deliver
Amen.
So many other children.
Amen.
That is why he wanted to get rid of you. But praise God for overcoming, and for
Amen.
Praise God for speaking to your spirit and for healing you, delivering you. Can we close out with you singing a song, dear? We don't have much. I think we've got 5 minutes. Can you close out?
Yes.
Is that okay? Whatever the spirit leads you in a song, I would love that. You're so blessed. I wish I could sing. If you could sing for us, that would be great. And I love you.
Praise God, praise God. And as when I go through all my struggles, I know that I don't understand everything, but I know that there are answers to all our questions, and I know that God is real. I know He's able, and all I ask is just to take it one day at a time, one day at a time, because tomorrow is not promised to us. Amen. So I just want to sing this just this little chorus here for you.
Yeah.
One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking of thee. Lord, give me the strength to do every day that I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today, show me the way, one day at a time. Amen.
Amen. Kara, I just love that.
And that's all. That's all we need, one day at a time, one day at a time, one day at a time. We can handle more than a day at a time. Amen?
Right.
One day
Amen.
At a
the verse that says, it's in Psalms, thy word is a lamp unto thy feet and a light unto
my path.
It is for our feet, right, Kara? Not for the road ahead, not way off ahead, but for our feet. For we give it to Jesus every day. Every day we surrender to him, and he will direct our path. Right?
Amen.
That was beautiful. Thank you so much. Thank you for being on the show today. We have just a couple minutes left. Anything you want to share else with our listeners?
I just want to remind people that this book, it's a book of hope and salvation. And this book, Five Reasons Not to Commit Suicide, God has given me these five reasons. And these five reasons, it will help you also. It's not just for me. Amen? It will help you. The five reasons are, let me just read it here.
Mm-hmm.
You are not your own.
Mm.
If you were born, you were meant to be here.
Mm.
Three, you don't really want to die.
Mm.
You don't. Yeah. Four, suicide is never the solution.
No.
And five, there is hope.
Amen.
There is hope. And with all of my life story that I share with you today, most of it is the negative part. Most of it is the negative part. But I am here sharing this today with you because there is hope. God has given me hope. God has turned my life around. And all that I've been through was never gone to waste. God used it for his glory. And I can testify to you today that there is hope. There is hope in Christ. There is hope in Christ.
That is
no matter what you're going through, God can take your story. God can use your mess, somebody would say, and turn it into your message.
Yes.
Amen.
Take your mess and turn it into a message. I love that.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. He can, and through every test is a testimony, right?
Yes,
you
have a testimony.
Yes.
Amen?
Well,
that's the reason I target teens and young adults, because I remember when I was growing up as a teen and a young adult, it was so frustrating. It was so confusing. It was so debilitating. It was so painful. You feel lost. In this big world, you feel lost. And you're searching and you just think you need to do what everybody else do. You know, go around and make babies and just do, you know, things what we see other people do. But God has a plan for our lives.
Amen.
And I just want to say, we were created by God, for his purpose.
Yes. And you know what, Kara, that song, it says, from my mother's womb, you have... Did you hear that in the song? In the song, No Longer Slave. From my mother's womb, you have born... You know, I'm born again. Your blood flows through my veins.
Okay,
right?
Yes.
That was part of the song, No Longer Slave to Fear. For we are children of the King. Well, God bless you, sister. It is our time to go. Thank you. Everybody pick up this book. I'm sure somebody in your life will be blessed by it and share this. You can come back onto the live stream, and the recording is still on this on Facebook. You can go to connect with me on Facebook, Instagram, on Twitter. You can connect with me on Periscope. I was blessed enough to get Author of the Month in April. You can go look at some of my just some blessings of some reviews that I got on Facebook, too. So God bless you guys. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you for having me, Kelly. Thank you so much.
Okay, take care, sweetie. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
You got a love with your life, like a fire burning strong, till the night is coming.
Only T-Mobile gives you unlimited data with taxes and fees included, so you save hundreds a year. And get two lines for just $100 a month all in with AutoPay. And right now, harness the power of unlimited with a Samsung Galaxy S8. It's the fastest Galaxy ever, so it deserves the fastest and most advanced LTE network. Why wait? Switch today. Only at T-Mobile.
Top 3% of users greater than 30 gigabytes per month may notice reduced speeds. Price includes sales tax.